feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Yeah, we're getting ready for one of the biggest regular season games in Sacramento Kings history, coming to you from the downtown Beach Hut Deli in the shadow of the Golden One. Kyle Draper, Kevin Whitey Gleason. Here we go, Drapes. Kings took care of business last night, and now we got Luka and his evil minions coming into town.
This is the biggest regular season game, and I can't remember in my time here in Sacramento, because this game is actually worth two in the standings,
right,
Whitey, because obviously you got the same record as Dallas right now, but also you can own the season series, so you would have the tiebreaker. So in essence, you would be two ahead of the Dallas Mavericks. This is a massive game tonight.
So if, and I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, if the Kings win the next two games, you would be two up on Dallas plus the tiebreaker, as you say. You'd be three up on them with nine to go, a fortuitous spot if you can grab it.
Yes, exactly. And mind you, looking at the other teams in the Western Conference, you know, depending on what happens tonight with the Pelicans and the Clippers, you could be a game back of the four or five spot too. So think about that. And so this is, I can feel the buzz in the city right now. We're hanging out at Beach Hut Deli. I don't know about you if you've had lunch yet or not, but you know your boy got to get his grub on
too
when I'm out here. So I'm going to hit them up.
I don't know if they have popcorn though.
That's all right, though. They can load me up with sandwiches. I'll take sandwiches today. You know, I had popcorn earlier. I started my day off with some golf, played 18 holes, so I'm in a good mood right
How'd
now,
How'd you
man.
Hit them? This could it's, be
That's
a,
not important, bro. That's not.
Oh,
that's
okay.
not.
All right. I was going to say that could be an indicator of, you know, things to come.
Up and down, good and bad. I'll tell you what,
How'd
though,
you finish?
I finished strong. No, I finished good.
I
think I parred or even got a bogey maybe on the last hole. But it's funny, man. Being on the golf course nowadays is different since I've came on this show with you guys. I used to find a Kirkland ball laying down there, and I'd be like, okay, I'll take it and give it to my son. I saw like five Kirklands today, and I left them there the entire time.
There you go.
I didn't pick them up. And so I thought every time I see a Kirkland ball now, I think of you and Jay. It's crazy, man.
Now, and Jay's here too. Come by, say hi to Jay. I hate to nitpick, but did you say, I got a par, maybe a bogey on the last hole? That's a big difference, isn't it?
It
did
is.
Did you say, yeah.
No, for me, I like to play bogey golf. I'm like, if I can make a bogey, I'm happy. A par is like, ooh, I'll take that.
All right.
But, you know, once you get to, like, the triple digits on your scorecard, does it really matter whether you get a par or bogey? I was playing from not
That's
the
nice
tips,
finish.
But the tee box right next to the tips.
Yeah.
It was a little too long for me, about 6,700 yards today. A little bit out of my comfort zone, but I had fun, man. That's a great course out
there. I
hope
you didn't have any doubles, but, you know, speaking of doubles, we got Domas. Mm. What a night for Domas last night. And tonight, the night that hopefully Kings fans and Domas can show the nation what they've been sleeping on all season long.
Yes, our guy Domantas Sabonis will be front and center on TNT tonight for the nation to see. He's getting major love around the league today on all the talk shows, and they're talking about it and everything like that. And it's funny, I did my post-game show last night after the game, post-game show. Boo! Okay, get on out of here. He got a Mavs jersey on, Luka Doncic jersey. We're not having that in Sacramento. Get him out of here, Jay. Get him out. No, but I did the post-game show.
You know, if that guy was standing on his head, you'd have two L's there. Those sevens would be two L's.
Two L's, right? That's what they're going to get this week.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the post-game show, and somebody comes up, Drapes. I told my whole section, we're going to be ready. We chant code tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll be back tomorrow night, meaning tonight. And so they're geared up. They're geeked up for this, man.
Is it coaches got it wrong, or is it coaches got it wrong?
No, the first one.
Coaches got it wrong. Coach has got it wrong.
That's what we're doing. Yes.
That's very nice.
And I don't know who Jason Kidd voted for or anything like that, but we got to send a message to him. How do you dare leave Domantas Sabonis, arguably the second best big man in the league this season, because I'm taking Joel Embiid out. He's hurt.
He's not in the league right now.
He's not in the league right now. He's in street clothes. Domantas Sabonis behind Nikola Jokic has been the second best big in the league.
And, you know, Jay's doing his due diligence here. We got Michael Grady is going to join us at 2:30. He's doing the game for TNT. It's his debut, nationally televised debut, doing play-by-play. He's the Timberwolves guy. So we will make sure he's very, very well aware of what Domas is doing and what he needs to share, the narrative he needs to share with the nation.
Yes.
Right?
He needs to hype up our boys. And, you know, he's in a precarious position, if you will, because his full-time job is Minnesota Timberwolves play-by-play. And this game has implications, maybe
right.
a first-round matchup. And so I don't know, you know, if he would be able to answer who he would rather play in the first round, like who he's cheering for in that matchup. But we'll have him on coming up at 2:30.
To me, the 25 triple-doubles for Domas are even more impressive than the 54 straight double-doubles. And I get it, and I know it's a – it's the most anyone's had since Kevin Love, since the merger.
Yep.
And I know no one's done that. I get all that. That's significant. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But to me, I mean, 25 triple-doubles. When you're joining now Russ and Big O and Wilt and Jokic.
Those are the only players.
Yeah, with 25-plus triple-doubles
yep.
in one season.
One season.
And given the way Domas goes about it, he doesn't hunt stats like we've yeah. seen guys here do. He doesn't do that. So these are legitimate triple-doubles. And obviously there's still a little meat left on the bone. That's even more impressive to
me. I'm with you on that. And, you know, you brought it up, and I really hadn't thought about it. But like you said, as a big man, getting points and rebounds, you know, that's what you should do.
Right.
And we've seen a number
right.
of guys, you know, do that throughout their careers. But to add in the assist as well, to get a triple-double at that position, and there's only been four guys, like you said, Wilt, Jokic, Domas, Westbrook and
Big O. Yeah. So it's
four
five
other
now.
Total
yeah,
of
yeah.
five guys, four other guys. And to join that group, I mean, this is historic stuff we're witnessing from Domantas Sabonis right now.
Mm-hmm. And again, he's doing it within the flow of the game. And what last night, how many shots did he take?
Five,
I think. Yeah. 3 for 5. I was looking at the box and I thought, oh, I got like the halftime box.
Right,
Three for five.
And that's the beauty about Domantas Sabonis' game. I know we want him to score 25, 30, but he's one of the few guys that can impact the game and control the game without scoring. He doesn't need to always put up big numbers for this team to win. He does so much more than just put the ball in the bucket. I mean, he really is the orchestrator, the conductor of the offense out there, and he's playing at, you know, not just an all-star level, coaches, you got it wrong, but an MVP level right now, a historic level, and it's great to see. Now, mind you, he got the Dallas Mavericks tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's all fine and dandy, Domas, the last 70, 71 games of the season, but I need you to bring it tonight. I don't know if five shots is going to get it done tonight.
No.
You know what I mean? I need all hands on deck. I need everybody locked in tonight and playing at a high level.
I think last night, would you agree, Domas took as many shots at the basket as he took shots in the head?
Yes.
He took at least five shots.
Dude, he got bloodied up. They had to stop the game one time.
I know.
You know, they had to administer the boxer's tape on him, you know, a little butterfly
yeah.
stitch out there almost.
And he's grabbing the jaw, like, like a cartoon, a little bird circling over his head, you know? And
yes.
He's like, all right, I'm good.
And, you know, we talked to him on a post-game show last night about, you know, this double-double streak and what's it take to get to this level. And the first thing he mentioned was being out there every night for my team. And I can't, you know, not give him his flowers for that, because no matter what you do when you're on the floor, if you're injury prone, Kawhi Leonard, we've seen in recent years, Paul George, you know, if you're only playing 50 games, you know, you can't be giving your full 100% to your team. He brings it every single night. The fact that he hasn't missed a single game, not only because of injury, but not even load management. Domas, you've earned a night off. No, he wants to be out there night in and night out, and that needs to be celebrated.
That's the one thing that I think was overlooked in the offseason, when people like Hollinger and Kevin O'Connor and these people looked at the Kings last year and said, oh, they weren't injured last year. And, okay, they were relatively healthy. But Domas was badly injured last year and just played through it.
Right, exactly. And so that's the thing, you know, which is so great about this Sacramento Kings team. You know, when guys are hurt or injured, they're legitimately hurt. It's not like, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to hold you out for the long term. We're looking down the stretch. No, they recognize how important each game is and to be out there. And, you know, it's funny. When I talked to the guys after the game yesterday, they are acutely aware of what's at stake this week. And I love to hear the fact that, you know what, they're not ducking and dodging the smoke. They understand what's at stake here, and I think they'll be ready tonight.
Yeah, that's what was impressive about last night. It's like you got your workbench, and you got a major job in the backyard. But first, oh, you got to fix the, I don't know, the socket or something. Yeah. I got to do that first and clear my workbench. And they did it. They took care of it.
They did.
Cleared the workbench, and now they focus on the task at hand.
Yeah, yes. And, you know, it's easy to look ahead, you know, to tonight's matchup. It's easy to look ahead to Friday's matchup, those games and how much they mean. You know, you got a wounded Sixers team coming into town, but they handled their business, you know. You can't get, like you said, to, you know, the big tasks, the big projects without, you know, first
right.
finishing the workbench.
And they've struggled with that at times.
And they have struggled with that at times. And, you know, we got Drape's Takes coming up in just a little bit. I'm excited because I feel like this team is in a really good spot when it matters the most important time of the season.
And we're in a really good spot. Downtown Beach Hut, Deli, close by, hard by the Golden One
yes.
Center. You get a chance to come on by and say hi on your way to the game. We'd love to talk to you. Stick around because we got Drape's Takes next. Drive, guys, Sactown Sports. Coming to you from the Downtown Beach Hut, Deli. We're right in front, and we're hard by the Golden One Center. Of course, Drape's has so many well-wishers coming by already.
Yeah, they're out here, huh?
Yeah.
They're out here.
Yeah.
Drape's crew is out here. Man, they are out here.
Hello? Yeah. Is this it must be a little frustrating for you, seriously, when you got this big game and it has nothing to do with you. You know, it's a nationally televised game, and you can't bring it to us tonight. That must be a little.
It is frustrating.
Yeah
it is, you know. And you know, our guy Michael Grady, who's coming up next segment, you know, respect him, and he does a fantastic job. But I'm like, man, this big game, I want to be on the call. It reminds me of game one last year against the Warriors, you know. It's like, you know. First playoff game in 17 years, and now the big boys come swoop in and take it up, you know, when we've been here since day one with the Kings through all the ups and downs and everything. And so, yeah, man, it hurts. I think I'll go to the game tonight. We were talking about it off air. I think I will go and check out the vibe and see what my boys can do tonight.
Yeah, and we will, when Michael Grady joins us here, bottom of the hour, we'll make sure he's up to speed on everything that he needs to share
yes.
with the national audience
right.
about what's really going on here.
Give him some talking points. Is that what you're saying? You know,
sure.
maybe.
Yeah.
Give him some talk. So what do we need him to know? We need him to know about our guy Domantas Sabonis.
That's the
right?
main thing.
That's,
yes.
That's the big
that
thing.
The whole country's been sleeping on this story.
Can we give him some Keon Ellis knowledge, too?
Oh, I think we have to.
I
think
agree.
We owe him that much.
Yeah, our boy Mike Brown as well. You know, give
yes.
Mike
yes. Yes.
So I'm going to have a full list of things we need to give him, and let's see what kind of knowledge he drops on the broadcast.
Yeah, speaking of the National View, you know, maybe I mentioned Kevin O'Connor in the last segment. Did you know that he actually did have something to say about Domas today?
I heard that. I haven't listened. He's
my guy,
but when
we'll
he talks about the
it.
Kings, I try not to listen.
Yeah, we will get around to that. But right now, it's time for Drape's Takes.
All right, Sacramento, it's your boy Drape's coming to you live from Beach Hut Deli, 7th and K. Come out, give us a shout out. Let me just say how excited I am for tonight's game. The biggest regular season game since I've been here for Sacramento. And the thing about this, Whitey, with less than 3 weeks left to go in the season, we're going to have more big games as well, right? It's not going to be all finished and done with tonight. But as I start Drape's Takes, I got to give my guy Domantas Sabonis some credit. You know, when you have a historical feat that he did last night, 54 straight double-doubles, getting love from Kevin Love out there afterwards, who had 53. This guy just brings it night in and night out. And the fact that he was still able to score 11 points, still had 13 rebounds, 10 assists, and only took 5 shots. I mean, I saw the lady that emailed me about Domas last night. She gave me that look. She had on her Domantas Sabonis jersey. And I said, don't worry, I got you. Anytime we can give this guy his flowers, we have to do it. And I'm trying to figure out, what's the most impressive part of his game? Is it the brutality that he takes every single night? The physicality that he deals with? Is it the fact that he's available every single night? Or is it the fact that, you know what, at the center position, he's like Tom Brady. He's like the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. You know, we talk about point guards needing to make everybody else better. Domantas Sabonis makes other players better on the Sacramento Kings
which
team.
Is what the very best basketball players do, and it's another thing that he's not getting credit for. To me, to answer your question, and I know we used this word yesterday, it's just that relentlessness. There are times when he is determined to score on an offensive rebound, and it's very, very, very difficult to stop him.
No, you're right about that. And, you know, at times it looks like he's being a bully out there on some of the guys. They're, you know, like a big bowling ball out there. But it's the effort, the tenacity, the will to win that I love about Domantas Sabonis. So that's the first dream state. Second dream state. You know, over the years, over the last month or so, we've given our guy Keon Ellis a lot of credit. But can we give off-night Davion Mitchell some credit? Yes, yes. A season-high 18 points last night.
They needed it, too.
They needed it, exactly. You know, and the thing I like about Davion last night, he took 9 shot attempts. He wasn't just waiting around, standing in the corner, hoping to get the ball. He was aggressive. He had one move last night where he went to the basket off the wrong foot with the left hand, a little left-hand floater. It was like it looked like De'Aaron Fox out there a little bit. He was toying with them out there. And give Davion credit. And I also believe Davion was the game changer in that first half. Remember, Tyrese Maxey couldn't miss a shot.
I know.
He couldn't miss a shot early. I mean, he was going for 50 last night if we would have kept doing. But Mike Brown put in off-night Davion Mitchell, and I thought his defensively, it was huge last night.
You go back to the Minnesota game, you know, the game in Minnesota where he also had a big offensive night. And as I recall, he was taking the ball to the basket.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the keys for him. If he's able to get the ball to the basket off the drive and then force the defender up on him a little bit, it seems to be a key to unleashing his offense.
Yeah, and how about Mike Brown deciding to play him close to 25 minutes last night?
Yeah.
And that's the thing I think about Davion, too, when we look at him and watch him. I don't know how good he can be in 2 and 3 minute spurts. Like, I think he needs some time to get into rhythm. And I understand it's tough backing up De'Aaron Fox, but it seems like Mike Brown has figured out the rotation with this guard lineup, you know, where Keon gets minutes, obviously Malik, and also our guy Davion Mitchell.
Wait a minute. Did you say Mike Brown knew what he was doing? That can't be, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right? We heard that loud. This guy doesn't have any idea what he's doing.
All these Twitter coaches.
He doesn't know basketball from a hockey puck.
It's unbelievable, man, that people would actually think they know more about basketball than Mike Brown.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The dude is coaching his butt off right now, and he's on the cusp of leading the Kings into the playoffs, into a top 6 seed in back-to-back seasons. Mike Brown's doing a hell of a job. Third and final drape stake really is a team thing, Whitey, because I said it during yesterday's show. That game against the Sixers will show me how mature Sacramento is, the Kings are. You know, it's easy to look past Philly, no Joel Embiid. They're banged up. You know, Philly coming off the second night of a back-to-back. You got Dallas coming into town, a monster game. But the Kings came out and handled their business last night. To me, that shows me some evolution. I don't want to say we turned the corner just yet because I was duped last week with that. But this team looks like it's trending in the right direction. Because here's the thing, Whitey. If you look at the last 10 games when they're 7-3, the only one that's a head-scratcher is the loss against Washington. You know, and that happens sometimes. I'm going to throw that one out. I'm going to give them a pass in this moment for that game because they clearly, to me, seem to be locked in.
I want to think that if they have started to turn a corner, it's because the defense is so much better. And if you're playing better defensively, that's something you can rely on night in and night out. It's still basketball.
Right.
Some nights a ball goes in, some nights it doesn't, so you're going to be up and down. But I think they should be more stable and less prone to the massive ups and downs now that they're playing more consistent defense.
Yeah, and that's the thing. One thing that will travel and should always be there is your defensive effort. Sometimes shots may not fall, but we've seen with this team, and I love the fact that we're finally seeing it. You know, in my first few years here, and even parts of last year, the offense, if they were hitting threes, then, you know, they would get after it defensively. Now it seems like they're getting the deflections. They're active defensively. They're getting out a little bit more in transition, and that's leading to a much better offense as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's Keon Ellis. It's a big part of it.
I've been telling you all season long, my guy Keon Ellis.
Hey,
that's Drape Stakes, man. It's brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco uniforms.
One of the things that makes tonight and Friday such great matchups, as you were just saying there, the Kings seem to be coming together, playing their best basketball, which is something that good teams do. I'm not saying that means you're going to win the championship, but good teams play their best basketball late in the year as things finally come together. But hate said, same thing is happening with Dallas.
Yes.
They're coming together right now as well.
Yes, and here's the thing. When you look at the Western Conference, I mean, it is a bear right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing well. The Pelicans 8-2 in their
last 10
games. Except the Warriors, right? Pelicans 8-2 in their last 10. The team we're facing tonight, Dallas, I believe, 8-2 in their last 10. You know, the Clippers are struggling a little bit, and the Warriors, but everybody other than that, man, they are on an incredible streak right now. And if I'm Adam Silver, who was in the building yesterday and he got a front-hand view of Domantas Sabonis, this is what you want, right? You want teams playing the best at the end of the season with still something to play for. And so, you know, some people don't like to play in tournament. Think about it. If we didn't have a play-in tournament, we wouldn't be sweating this game as much. All right, we're in the sixth seed.
Right.
We're probably top eight. It's okay. Now we're like the difference between six and seven is so enormous. That's why this game tonight is huge.
There was somebody last night at the media table. Somebody works for the Kings, and she was saying, we were talking about that. She said, I love the play-in. I just wouldn't want to be in it. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
I just don't want us to
go
through that.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And I'm looking at the standings right now, too, man. I mentioned the Pelicans. Man, they are – and here's – we got to get into this later. There's a possibility that the Kings and Pelicans could be 4-5.
Yeah.
And would we want that, Sacramento? Because the Clippers are nosediving right now. They are free-falling out there right now.
Tom Petty. Tom
Petty style. Yeah. And so here's the question. Would we want them in a 4-5 matchup?
Wouldn't be the first thing I'd ask for.
Right, right.
You know?
But I say, bring it on. Why'd he bring on the smoke? I'm ready, Zion. I'm ready, Ingram, CJ. Let's go. I'm ready for it.
On the chat here, the YouTube chat, thanks for being with us. Domas is a point center for Manny Too Legit, who says he might come by. Manny, you should come by. Someone else says Domas is like a football player. John Williams says Domas is basketball's version of Rocky. He's kind of like a hockey player, the way he combines that brutality with the finesse.
Yeah.
You know, those guys run into each other on skates, and Domas is like, yeah, he's very physical, but then with the fakes, and then he goes up with that very delicate, you know, left-hand hook. It's a real combination of agility and power.
Yeah, Domas is two hockey players in one, right? You know how hockey is. They always got that one goon out there, that enforcer, that big bruiser. But then they also got skill guys, finesse guys, guys that can score goals. You know, Alex Ovechkin. But then you also got somebody that's a bruiser as well. Domas is all that packed into one, and it's been tremendous to watch, man. I love it.
So tonight the game is on TNT, and Michael Grady, who's the Timberwolves play-by-play guy, he's making his national play-by-play debut. He's going to join us, and you know, it's great. It's an opportunity for him to find out what's really going on here in Sacramento with the Kings before he shares it with the nation.
Yeah, an outsider's view of what's out there. And, you know, we'll give him our talking points, and I'm sure, you know, the good thing about Michael Grady, too, is he has seen Sacramento up close and personal. You know, he's been in town here. He's seen the Kings. So we won't have to, you know, tell him too much about Domas. Trust me, he already knows.
Michael Grady, TNT, play-by-play tonight. He joins us next year. Drive Guys coming to you from the downtown Beach Hut Deli on Sactown Sports. Drapes, how about this? We'll get to our very special guest in just a moment.
Yeah.
But on the chat here from Ultimate Kingpin, talking about Domas, he says, any starting big man should already average a double-double, so that part isn't much of anything. He does his job cool. Yawn emoji.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, you know, he's a loyal listener. He's always in the YouTube chat. But, I mean, this guy is a negative Nelly out here. You know what I mean? It's like Debbie Downer, man. I'm just like, dude, slow down. Slow your roll. Any starting big man should already average a double-double, so that part isn't much of anything. Well, if it isn't much of anything, how come it doesn't happen all the time?
Nobody's done it since 1977.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He's being a hater right now.
Yeah,
man.
We got to make sure our next guest gets the message out tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice stuff to join us. He's the outstanding TV play-by-play guy for the Timberwolves, making his national debut tonight. Kings and Mavericks, pardon me,
That's
on TNT.
Perfect. Thank you.
Michael Grady. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I'm good. Yourself?
We're great. Thanks for coming on with us. Can we count on you to educate fans around the country on what an amazing season Domas is having, because he can't get the respect he deserves, Michael?
You know, it really speaks to just how many great performances we've seen around the NBA this season. Because even from a Kings fan perspective, you totally feel like Domas should have been in the All-Star game. Totally feel like he should be getting more attention for the things that he's accomplishing this year. And then when you look at what Jokic is doing and you look at his numbers, you look at Luka Doncic and his numbers as he enters this game tonight, Giannis out with Milwaukee. There are all these tremendous performances that we're seeing and individual excellence that we're seeing around the league that it's 100% frustrating, especially when, you know, for me personally, coming from small markets, when, you know, the teams that I used to cover would be doing some spectacular things. And then it would be kind of swept under the rug because these major markets or teams or players with more cachet would have all the talking points. So I think tonight is a great opportunity on this stage in a massive game, two teams with identical records, where another strong performance from Domantas Sabonis on this platform would go a long way and at least getting people to understand how difficult it is to do what he's able to do night in and night out.
There we go.
Yeah, that's it.
There we go.
Michael, I need that monologue on the broadcast tonight, man. I need that tonight, man. Hey, it's your boy Drapes here, man. Excited to have you in town for this big game. You know, when you look at the Western Conference, and I know you're very familiar with it, having done, doing play-by-play for the Timberwolves, how does it stack up to you, man? When you look at, you know, the Clippers falling off a little bit, but now here come the Mavericks, the Kings, the Pelicans. I mean, this is, you know, they talk about the wild, wild West, and this is as wild as it's been for a while.
You know, what's funny, the teams that are slipping are still scary.
Yeah.
And this is what makes the Western Conference and this postseason 100% must-see TV. You don't want to miss a game. The drama, the theater that we're going to see with each matchup over the course of this Western Conference playoff run. Forget the East. The West is crazy. So going back to that original point about the teams that are slipping are still scary. The Clippers have fallen off a little bit. Anybody want to see Kawhi in round one? Anybody enthused about the possibility of matching up with them in round one? Right now it looks like the Pelicans. No, that's still scary. Who else is slipping? Phoenix just lost to San Antonio last night without Victor Wembanyama. Man, Phoenix has fallen off. Anybody want to see KD and Book in round one? Anybody excited about that first round series? Even with Golden State, the way they may not even make the play-in tournament. If they make the play-in tournament, who wants to see Steph Curry in a do-or-die game?
Right.
So it's like every last one of these teams that are fighting for playoff position, fighting for their play-in lives, they're scary, they're desperate, and these final weeks of the regular season are going to be spectacular. The teams that we have at the top, minus Denver, who's number one right now, Oklahoma City, and, you know, Minnesota, they've been doing amazing things this season. But still, they're going to have their doubters once the bright lights of the postseason comes on because of their lack of collective postseason experience together. So how will they handle the limelight when they're a favorite in round one, potentially against the Dallas Mavericks, potentially against the Suns or the Lakers? It's just so many storylines, and I just have never seen either conference this deep, 11 deep. 11 deep.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Grady with us. He's got the call tonight on TNT, Kings and the Mavs. You being the T-Wolves play-by-play guy, Michael, how impressed were you by what the Kings did that Friday a couple weeks ago when they went into Minnesota without De'Aaron Fox and they were able to come away with that victory when Malik Monk went nuts on the T-Wolves in what was a really big game for both teams?
Yeah, you know, Sacramento, again, being another one of those teams that, you know, if you're excited about seeing them in the postseason, something might be wrong with you. Given the way De'Aaron Fox is playing this season, another guy, we talk about Sabonis being under the radar. What De'Aaron Fox is doing is under the radar as well in a lot of NBA circles, and he should be applauded for it. Malik Monk is the sixth man of the year, and that game where he dropped 39, where he had, you know, a slow start in that game. And you're thinking from a Timberwolves perspective, okay, if he stays pedestrian, you're okay. And then all of a sudden he goes nuclear and, you know, the basket is as wide as the ocean. So he is incredibly fun to watch from a defender standpoint. He's incredibly tough to stop. And he just makes this Sacramento squad more dynamic. The one thing I'm curious about, and I'll turn it to you, Drapes, the defense for Sacramento. I remember talking to Mike Brown about this a couple of times, you know, this season, and that they know that they have a tremendous offense, and if the defense can just catch up just a little, it doesn't have to be spectacular. But if the defense can rise, you know, a little bit, then you can do some. Then they could potentially do some really special things. And whether it's Keon Ellis or whatever it is, kind of defensively, we're seeing them lock in a little bit more. And I think that's going to make them even more dangerous as we get into this critical part of the regular season.
Michael Grady joining us. And Michael, you talk about the Kings defense, man, and it really has improved. Right now, they're 14th in the NBA in defensive rating. You know, all season long, we've just been talking about, hey, if this team could just be middle of the pack, top 15, yeah, you know, great things will happen. And you're seeing it right now. And I point to Keon Ellis. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, what happens is the coach can preach things and say, guys, we got to do this. But you need a player to actually go out there and do it. And I feel like what Keon's done is sort of, you know, rubbing off on everybody else. You know how it is. When one guy is getting after it, it sort of, you know, motivates the rest of the team to do that as well.
It's contagious. And you need irritators like that on your roster. And I think it's really fun to see. And going back to that Minnesota game, you know, Malik Monk obviously went crazy offensively. But Keon did so many little things in that game as a disruptor and mucking up the flow for the Timberwolves backcourt that he was 100% noticeable in that game. So from my standpoint, it's no from the outside looking in, it's no surprise kind of the impact that he's had, because again, once you start to get easy baskets and you make plays and get stops, like the NBA is just all about scoring 120, 100. We've seen a lot of 120, 130, whatever it may be. The numbers are going down a little bit slightly. But defense is fun. Like, can we make defense fun again? Can we enjoy getting stops, making great defensive plays? You know, I've seen it in Minnesota with the number one defensive rating, but seeing what, you know, Sacramento is starting to do and seeing some, you know, Oklahoma City, they'll get after you defensively. Houston is one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team. Oh, they're the hottest team in the league right now after what happened with Boston last night. Houston gets after it defensively. I love talking about defense and seeing selfless guys like Keon Ellis have an impact on their respective team.
Michael Grady with us. He's got the call tonight on TNT. And Michael, to that point, the Kings last Wednesday, I believe it was, they beat Toronto, and Mike Brown after the game was asked to compare Keon to any outstanding defender he's seen before, and he really struggled. It was incredible. He said, I'm having a hard time with that one. He started to say he may be the best we've seen in some areas, and he didn't quite go there, but he's really, really impressed. It's amazing how impressed Mike Brown is with Keon Ellis to this point. But I wanted to ask you, as far as tonight goes, what's the first thing that jumps out to you about this matchup between the Kings and the Mavericks?
Well, I want to see number one, selfishly, I want to see everybody play. And I think, you know, with it being a back-to-back for both teams, I think if everybody is able to participate, I think it underscores the significance of this game. If the Kings win, they lock in the regular season series against the Mavericks, and that gives them an edge in terms of a tiebreaker. If the Mavericks get a win, they, of course, face each other later in the week. If the Mavericks get another win there, then it opens up the conference record tiebreaker if the Kings and the Mavericks happen to have the same record, which is significant because we're not talking about two teams that are 2, 3, or 4 in the West. We're talking 6, 7, 8. So these tiebreakers and the opportunity to get out of the play-in and give yourself almost a week of rest before the bright lights of the postseason gets underway is massive. No one wants to go through that, okay, all right, we got to play in this 7-8 game, and if we lose this, then we got to play another game to hopefully get into the playoffs as an 8 seed in these kind of high-pressure do-or-die games. And plus, you're losing rest. You know, you got guys with bumps and bruises. Everybody does at this point in the NBA season. So to be able to secure a 6 seed and to be able to rest and watch these other teams playing these stressful 7, 8, 9, 10 play-in games is just, you just can't put a price tag on that. So for me, I just want to see who wants it more. You know, I want to see a show. I want to see the guys go out there and play at a high level. And it's late March, and the playoffs don't start until mid-April. But this is almost a mini playoff game. And the Mavericks have been one of the hotter teams in the league. The Kings are, of course, tough at home. And the tempo with which they play with, the way that Sabonis is playing, De'Aaron Fox, Monk off the bench, the shooting from Keegan Murray, it's not going to be an easy game either way. And so I'm just ready to buckle up for a fun one tonight.
Yeah, hopefully Luka plays tonight. Like you said, I want to see these guys at full strength too. He's questionable with a left Achilles soreness. Michael, my final question, you know, we've talked a lot about the Kings, obviously, our squad here. But what is it that the Mavs have been doing lately that has led them to, you know, making a playoff push and playing better basketball as of late?
Yeah, you know, the Kings haven't seen this iteration of the Dallas Mavericks. You know, when they saw them for the last time, the Mavericks were coming off of a back-to-back where Luka Doncic had just scored 73 points against Atlanta, speaking of no defense. And so this is their first time seeing them with Daniel Gafford, who's been an absolute difference maker, with P.J. Washington in the starting lineup. And if they have their starting five that they've had out there the last handful of outings with Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, P.J. Washington, Derek Jones, and Gafford in the middle, that starting five is undefeated. So they've found the right mix of guys and the right flow, and Lively the second coming off the bench. They're just tough, and the chemistry between Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic and understanding and trusting each other and your turn, okay, my turn, that whole thing. And they make life easy for their bigs. All their bigs are shooting an incredible percentage from the floor because they're just catching lobs or cleaning up the glass. So they have just really been clicking and turning it on at the right time. And we'll see if they are able to get after it defensively or how they do in transition defense against this Sacramento squad. But it's going to be a slugfest. Mavericks are playing at a high level, and I think it just sets up for a terrific matchup. There's really no advantage other than the Kings being at home. Both teams are on the second half of a back-to-back, and I can't wait for it.
Michael Grady, have a great call. Thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you both. Take care, guys.
All right, man. See you soon. All right, bro.
Yeah, when we come back, tell you why Domas, Daniel Gafford, tell you why he's not afraid of Daniel Gafford. It's when we come right back to the Downtown Beach at Delhi. Drive, guys, on Sactown Sports. Kyle Draper's right. These next two games, tonight and Friday, at hard-pressed to remember more important regular season games in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
History?
Maybe there have been some, but they're not coming to mind.
I can't think of one, you know, this late in the season. At this point, you know, historically, even last year, right, we pretty much had the 3 seed wrapped up around this time.
Right,
you know,
right.
Remember, you know, Mike Brown rested guys down the stretch and everything. We lost 3 of the last 4, I think it was. And so, no, this is massive tonight, and I can't wait till the crowd starts streaming in here for Golden One Center. We're hanging out at Beach Hut Deli. I still ain't get a menu out here yet. Who do I need to talk to get a menu out here, bro? Who?
The owner, Brett.
Brett. I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if we got the speaker pumping in.
I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Your boy needs – you don't want a hangry drapes. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, it's one thing I've learned.
Right.
Absolutely.
I didn't get my popcorn yet and everything. But, no, man, I'm excited, man. And here's the thing. If you remember last year, Whitey, at this time, just the buzz in the city about the Kings. And I feel that a little bit this year, too, especially going into this night, whether I'm on the golf course or at the grocery store or something like that. You know, people are excited – And, you know, sure, we've had our bad losses and teams we should beat. But I've said it time and time again. Everything is right there still for us. You know, a top six seed is right there. And so a chance to really move on from those past mistakes and handle your business tonight.
Yeah, a lot of the dissatisfaction, it's drifting away now, and people now are starting to rally around this idea of, all right, here we go. It's playoff time, and we got a team that actually could do some damage. As far as tonight, Luka's questionable?
Yes.
I'm not buying it. He's playing.
He has to play, right?
Yeah, he's going to play.
This is a massive game. Thank you, Jay. Got the menu here. You want to take over the show while I peruse this? No. But he's got to play, right? Like, this is their biggest game as well. And think about it. If they lose this game, they lose the season series. So we win the tiebreak if these two teams should finish with the same record.
Right,
and so this is a massive game for the Dallas Mavericks. I think they're just being coy.
Little
cat and mouse kind of game. You know, got Mike Brown guessing.
It's Harry High School stuff. Oh, Luka might not play. He's playing.
Exactly. He is playing. And, no, I'm looking forward to it tonight, man.
Let me take you back briefly to just before Christmas, the 18th of December. Last year, Domas and the Kings taking on the Washington Wizards. As you remember, it's a very high-scoring game. Yeah. The Kings prevailed. But that night against Mr. Daniel Gafford, who's done some nice things with Dallas. Domas, let's see, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. So
And if I'm correct, he got Gafford in early foul trouble. He took it right to the chest of Daniel Gafford. I'm a huge Daniel Gafford fan.
Yeah.
I would have liked him to come to Sacramento. But him trying to guard Domantas Sabonis, no offense, he might be listening to us right now, but that's barbecue chicken. Daniel Gafford is a good player. But I think Domas and his physicality, his strength, really shocks people. And I don't know if he's ready for that tonight, talking about Gafford. And can I give you a key to tonight's game, or should I save that till later?
Let's go.
I'm going to tell you exactly the biggest thing to watch
is
tonight.
Is it on the menu, or is it something to do with the game tonight?
You know what? I'm going to ask you a question off camera, because I was golfing today, and somebody was like, guess how much a footlong sub is at Beach Hut Deli? And I'm going to check it out. I know I got it, big fella. Don't worry about it. It might be cheap. Jay over there weighing it. It might be cheap. And so, no, but the key to tonight.
Yeah.
Drape's Keys, right? Can we get that sponsored? Drape's Keys, right?
Yes.
You know me, man. But no, seriously, when you got Luka, when you got Kyrie, on-ball defense is going to be at a premium tonight. So I'm looking at Keon Ellis. I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox. I'm looking at Davion Mitchell. They're on-ball defense, not in terms of locking up Luka or locking up Kyrie. But when you look at Daniel Gafford, when you look at P.J. Washington, when you look at Derek Lively, the Mavs' big players, they don't get buckets on their own.
Right.
They get buckets
right
off of Luka and Kyrie. So if you can keep Luka and Kyrie in front of you, then those other guys become null and void and also obviously crash the defensive rebounds.
So, Drape's Key, when you've got Luka and you've got Kyrie, pressure on the ball is the absolute key.
Absolutely. Is that a song you're about to do right
now?
You got your
guitar,
though. That was pretty good.
There you go.
That was pretty good. But that is the key, because if those guys break down your defense, you're in help, you're in rotation, that's when Daniel Gafford becomes a lob threat. That's when Derek Lively becomes a lob threat.
And that's why Kings fans have genuine reason to get excited now. A month ago, all the talk of, boy, they need to put more pressure on the basketball. It was like, yeah, that'd be great. It'd be great if I had $1 million, too. You know, it'd be great. It's not going to happen. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And
but
Mike Brown knew it,
though.
And he still preached. It's like, I don't know where it's going to come from, but we've got to find it. And now, like you said, like Brock Purdy falling into Shanahan's lap, Keon Ellis like, whoa, look at that. I've got a guy who's an excellent on-ball defender.
Yeah, and I think because – and we talked about this, and I should have asked Michael Grady when we had him on because he might have taken offense to this. I know Jay does. I told you, De'Aaron Fox and Keon Ellis can be the best backcourt defensively in the NBA. I know what they're doing out there in Minnesota. I know Boston has it. But tonight, those guys got to be at their best defensively, because when you look at the best offensive backcourt in the league, it might be these two dudes we're seeing tonight in Dallas and Kyrie and Luka.
Let me just pin you down on that just so we know exactly what you're saying. I'm not arguing with you. Are you saying that
Time out.
Are you saying?
You cannot ask the question by saying, let me pin you down
on
this.
Because you said like three different things on it. Are you saying you arguably they could – that's the first thing you said. Arguably they could be the best. Are you saying they could become the best? Or, I don't know, they might be. I mean, which is it?
You know I'm going to leave myself some wiggle room.
Well,
you know that, right?
That's what I'm trying.
You're trying
to narrow it down a little bit.
They could be the best backcourt defensively
right now. They could be the best. Okay.
Right now. But they have to go out there and prove it.
Absolutely.
We've talked about this with Jay. We talked about this with the sample size is really small. It has to develop. And I think tonight is a major test. If they can lock these guys up, and it's going to be hard to hold Luka under 25, same with Kyrie. But I'm looking at the field goal percentage for those two guys tonight. If Luka's 11 of 15, we didn't do our job. Now, if he's 11 of 24, I'll take that. There's a difference.
Yes.
He still might get his 30 points, but is he going to have to work for it and take a lot of shots to get it done?
Here's the key to slowing down Luka tonight when we come back, and we'll tell you, yes, how the Kings' new defensive fortitude, it does figure to be tested tonight. When we come back here to the downtown beach at Delhi in the shadows of the Golden One, get ready for the Kings and the Mavs. It's the Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.